Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us the greatest gift in your Son to bring salvation to our souls. May we see with faith the inheritance that is kept safe in heaven for us and strive for the goal of faith so that inexpressible and glorious joy Peter wrote about is ours also, along with the salvation of our souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The doors are locked. The atmosphere in the room is filled with feelings and emotions running the gamut of human expression. Fear and faith. Worry and wonder. Exhaustion and excitement. Emotions coming and going, ebbing and flowing from one into another and back again. The past days have just been too much to take in. I mean, this early morning began with the woman leaving for the tomb with spices. Not too long later, pounding on the locked door, startling us. Mary was breathless, running from the tomb. Her message was the body of Jesus was taken from the tomb. Peter and then John went running to the tomb. John came back with excitement with what he saw. He witnessed the empty tomb with the linen left lying and the burial cloth neatly folded and set by itself. John saw and he believed. A short while later, after Peter and John returned to the upper room, Mary was again out of breath and again pounding on the locked door. And bursting in the door as it was unbolted with the words just bursting out of her, "I have seen the Lord!" Mary had seen Jesus alive. But still the doors were shut and kept locked. The leaders who had the tomb sealed are now more than likely searching the city and the hillside around Jerusalem. The seal was broken. The body was taken. That's the story they're telling. So they're searching for the body. And in the midst of the fear behind that locked door, Jesus comes and stands amongst them. Peace be with you. The joyful reunion. He is alive. Jesus shows his hands and feet. He shows his side too. The marks from the wounds are there. Joy, joy more than we can imagine fills the place. Jumping up and down, uncontainable excitement. Jesus standing there alive. He's here. He's alive. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. Now, Thomas missed out on that moment. He came later that evening, and he would have nothing of their words. Round and round the conversations went. One after another in the room speaks to Thomas, "Jesus is alive. We've seen him. He was here." And Thomas again and again reiterates, "Unless I see the nail marks, put my fingers in the wounds, put my hand in his side, I will not believe it." And on, and adding with emphasis, perhaps even stomping his feet, "I will not believe." It went on throughout the week. Thomas was growing more and more emphatic. "I will not believe it." A week later, the doors bolted as they've been all week. And Jesus appears. "Peace be with you." And then turning to Thomas, Jesus demonstrated his knowing of things. He turns to Thomas and says, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it in my side. Stop doubting. Believe." And then Thomas confesses, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said back to Thomas and to all to hear, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And then John writes in his gospel, John 20, verses 30 and 31, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Testimony of the gospel is enough for me to believe. The whole of Scripture is enough for me to believe. I take God's word as his word, all of it, from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, all the way through to Revelation, where the Lord says, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." From Alpha to Omega, from beginning to end, and all in between, I believe. I take it by faith. The resurrection of Jesus is an actual historical event. The crucifixion of Jesus is an actual historical event. His death and his burial really did happen. The tomb is empty because Jesus rose exactly as he said he would rise. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Jesus laid down his life and he died. Jesus took back his life. He took it back up and he rose from the dead. By the very truth of Jesus rising from the dead, you can have eternal life come to your soul. New birth can be yours in Jesus Christ. And with that new birth, you can have a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his mercy he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now I invite you to listen carefully and listen closely, because this is important for you and your Christian faith. Often we judge things by how we feel in the moment. We assess how good life is or how bad life is by the feeling of the current moment. Our financial situation, our job satisfaction, our health, the things of life perk us up or tear us down. That is living with eyes set on this world. I say to you, put your faith into your daily life and set your eyes on heavenly things. As C.S. Lewis described in The Joyful Christian, "Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither." The Lord has in heaven an inheritance prepared for you, an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. It is kept in heaven for you. And knowing that inheritance is all prepared for you, it is yours already by the very fact of the resurrection of Jesus. Seeing your inheritance, setting your eyes on your inheritance in heaven, makes that living hope in you more alive each day. Do you need a dose of hope today? Look to Jesus. Look to your Father in heaven. and long for what they've prepared for you, that inheritance which is yours. And when you see what's prepared for you, the size of your problems, the depth of your suffering of the moment will be greatly lessened. For you will see the greatness of the things to come. Eternal life with the Lord. Look to the disciples and what happened to them. None lived a luxurious life of relaxation. None lived luxuriously into retirement. John came the closest to any form of retirement in that he lived to an old age, but that was in exile on an island after suffering much and still suffering. The living faith they had gave them hope to live each day and face the sufferings and persecutions with songs of joy. Remember Paul and Silas singing in the jail? They were looking for the things to come. We live too much in the here and now. Advertisements are enticing you to have it all now. And if you don't have it now, you're missing out. And when you miss out, you pout. We cry, we get angry, we consider it suffering, eyes looking to earth, missing what heaven has in store for you. Would you like to have joy? Joy so great that words are not found in your vocabulary to describe the joy. Joy that deeply, deeply, deeply wells up inside of you, lifting you up better than Willy Wonka's fizzy lifting drink. Peter, in his letter, used the words inexpressible and glorious to describe this joy. Inexpressible. It's of a feeling too strong to be described or conveyed in words, too great or extreme to be expressed. You just can't describe it. That joy is available to you. You may have this inexpressible and glorious joy. Would you like to have it? A kind of joy, this inexpressible joy, is not sent packing in suffering. It remains strong. This inexpressible joy is present in your heart, even in the midst of pain and persecution. This inexpressible joy is present irrespective of life circumstances. Present whether people love you and adore you or people persecute you. This inexpressible and glorious joy can carry you to the farthest corners of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, like the disciples and missionaries of old. Your faith is of greater worth than gold. Life's ups and downs refine that faith in you. Showing and proving your faith in Jesus Christ is genuine, and it results in praise and glory and honor to Jesus Christ. There is such grace awaiting you when Jesus is revealed that you can set your hope fully on that grace. The grace that means you are forgiven. You are redeemed. You will live. All this mercy from the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ to you. Grace. Peter had many memories from his experience walking with the Lord. Memories that the believers coming after him do not have or ever will have. Memories of Jesus physically alive after he rose from the dead. Peter physically walked with Jesus along the shores of the lake. You and I, we have none of these memories. of physically being with Jesus, seeing him alive. But by faith, yes, by faith, you can know Jesus. By faith, you can have a living relationship with the living Lord Jesus Christ. Though you do not see him, you love him. That's what Peter writes. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. That's what Peter writes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Believe the testimony and witness of the Gospels. Believe the testimony of the apostles in their letters. John saw and believed while he was in that empty tomb. Thomas believed when he saw for himself. And now you? Will you love Jesus? Will you love Jesus though you have not seen him? Will you believe? Be filled. Yes, be filled with this inexpressible and glorious joy. Be filled now as you comprehend what you obtain as the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul, all exactly as God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ promised. What does this mean for you? What does this mean for you is a great question. Simply this, day in and day out, no matter the circumstances of the current moment in your life, you can cry out, you can call out, you can raise your voice, you can pray, you can sing, you can do all those things with saying, Jesus is alive. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. I have eternal life with my Lord, whom I loved. In all circumstances of life, you can sing out, Jesus is alive. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. I have eternal life with the Lord whom I love. That inexpressible and glorious joy will be present as you turn your eyes heavenward where your inheritance awaits you. Turn your eyes heavenward where you will live forever with the one whom you love. Turn your eyes and see Jesus Christ, your risen Lord. Amen and amen.